Welcome to HealthCast, the heartbeat of health IT. I'm Alexander Bullock, production lead at GovCIO Media and Research. With me today is managing editor, Ross John Fortuna. Hi, Ross.
Hello.
So you had the opportunity to chat with Mitchell Thornbrew, CIO at the Indian Health Service. How'd it go?
It was great. He's a really interesting guy with a long career in managing these sort of health services, whether it's at a hospital or now, you know, within the infrastructure of IHS. So he had some interesting things to say about the way they're doing electronic health records and how they're bringing all that out when it comes to modernization at the agency.
Yeah, and this is Mitchell's second appearance with GovCIO Media Research Podcast. We always are excited to have returning guests, and I'm definitely interested in learning what has changed and developed since we last had him on. I definitely encourage our listeners to go back and listen to that original interview. Before we take a listen to your conversation, though, is there anything that you want to highlight in particular for our listeners to listen out for?
Well, just the notion of working across agencies. I know this is something we talk about a lot on these shows, but he talked a bit about learning about modernization efforts at places like VA, which obviously is very different when it comes to their health system. But there are lessons to be learned in the same sort of journeys that they're taking. And IHS is on a similar enough journey that there's a lot of do's and don'ts that are exchanged. And so we talked about that a little bit, about working, you know, across organizations to really find the best systems and the best care for the patients more than anything.
Well, with all of that in mind, let's take a listen to your conversation.
Mitch Thornbrew is the Chief Information Officer and the Director for the Office of Information for the Indian Health Service. He's responsible for advising senior IHS leadership on aspects of information resource management, technology, and he ensures IHS compliance with IT laws, regulations, and policy. He joins me now to talk about the health IT modernization programs at IHS. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ross. Glad to be on.
How satisfied are you with the progress of the IHS Health Information Technology Modernization Program, specifically over the last year or so?
We've made significant progress in the Health IT Modernization Program with the selection of the new Enterprise Electronic Health Record solution in the last year. It really makes me eager to start to work on that solution, but it's a long timeline. And I wouldn't change that. I think we got to the right place with the right level of rigor, but it is a multi-year process. So over the past several years, we've relied on research, industry, and federal standards and conversations with our partners to inform and guide us throughout the project. While all of this was underway, the IHS staff from headquarters to local care sites continue to support the delivery of healthcare across the country by maintaining our essential health IT system, securing and protecting patient information, and implementing presidential orders such as Zero Trust. Our dedicated IHS team and partners have worked diligently to prepare for the acquisition of the new EHR, and together we've achieved great progress. The team's commitment to our shared goals and efforts has been instrumental in driving the Health IT Modernization Program, and I appreciate everyone's part in getting us to where we are and looking forward to the continued excellence as we move forward. A little bit about our timeline. In 2018 and 2019 is when we conducted the research project to look at how we might approach modernization. In 2020 through 2021 was our planning phase. We held listening sessions. We announced through a decision memo that we had planned to replace the existing EHR with a commercial system. We established our project management office. And we also held things like virtual day for all of our industry partners And also worked on the acquisition strategy. In 2022 through 2024, we focused on buy and build, and that's where we find ourselves currently. And with the recent November selection of GDIT and Oracle Health as our new EHR, we've completed the vendor selection, and we are moving into the build phase where we look at the system build and configuration, as well as doing a lot of human capital workforce analysis and making sure that we're prepared for that new solution. And then in 2025 and beyond, we'll have an iterative process that once we get through pilot sites and initial testing, we'll use cohorts and or groups of sites, and we'll continuously move through those until we're completed. We project that will take from 2025 to as long as 2032. So again, it is a long project.
So what challenges are you facing in, you mentioned buying and building the EHR system with organizations like Oracle and GDIT?
When selecting the vendor for the new EHR solution, the biggest challenge was making sure we selected a vendor and a solution that would meet the needs of our broad partners across the Indian country. We selected GDIT because they had the strongest overall technical approach. They demonstrated experience deploying similar systems for the federal government, had a record of strong past performance, and included a widely adopted EHR product that was well received by users who participated in scenario-based demonstrations. When we went out for those demonstrations, we had almost 700 advisors, federal, tribal, and urban employees who would ultimately use the system that were able to watch those demonstrations and give us feedback into the usability and how that would help them perform their work and deliver high quality patient care across the country. With the selection of GDIT, we now have a modernization team in place with our technology integrator, the health IT platform, the project management office, and organizational change management experts that are really critical for a project of this scope and size, where we're replacing the EHR that everybody in our organization and our partners' organizations across the country use to deliver high quality patient care every day. Organizational change management's at the front of mind. How do we make sure that everybody's prepared and ready for this level of change? And then our next steps as we think about those challenges is to learn and implement the technology that we're using, conduct our end-to-end testing to help create a user-centered EHR, assess our human capital needs to make sure that we have the workforce and the training necessary to be successful, and prepare system users in an effort to launch the pilot sites in 2025. And while the VA and DoD efforts and the IHS Health IT Modernization Program will both use Oracle health technology, every instance of an enterprise solution build is different. So we have to go in and build our own and make sure that that's ready for us to use. It will be a separate instance than the VA and DoD solution, and will be built to align to shared best practices for clinical and administrative process as identified by the users of the IHS system and our partners. The IHS partners have successfully implemented the Oracle solution at numerous locations across Indian country, and we have the advantage of gaining lessons learned from our other partners in the federal government. That being said, the IHS does meet regularly with the Federal EHR Modernization Program Office to identify lessons learned and best practices that come directly from the VA and DoD and efforts that may be applicable to the IHS modernization initiative.
Well, you mentioned partnerships a bunch of times. Obviously, partnerships are key to these kinds of things, not just internally, but externally. So how are you navigating those partnerships when we're talking about implementation? What is their role? And how are you kind of guiding them through this whole plan?
Thanks. Partnerships are absolutely critical to the way that Indian Health Service provides care across the country, whether that's partnering with our tribal and urban partners who help operate health systems, but also partnering with commercial and private sector care providers in all of our communities, where we might use purchase and referred care or have overlap in our systems of care, where we focus on interoperability and making sure that we're working with those partners for the best possible outcomes for our patients. So that's a central principle. that we carried over into the health IT modernization. And we want to build and operate the best possible enterprise EHR solution with our partners, not for them. And that speaks specifically to the way that not only do we want to engage partners, but also how do we want to govern the system? So we have a shared resource used by many partners. How do we make sure that through governance that that system is viable and meeting the needs of our partners? And we chose to do that through the governance model, through inclusive structure that makes sure that the users, the people that use the system out in the field, are the ones that help make decisions about how that system is managed, so that in 10 years and beyond, that's still a system that's meeting the needs of the folks that use it every day. We regularly communicate and obtain input from our tribal and urban Indian organization partners, as well as our federal staff across the country. We have a lot of honest discussions with tribal leaders, our healthcare facility executives, program and local staff, to understanding the capabilities, solutions, and shortfalls within our current systems, and what we can do to identify shared best practices that embrace the new enterprise system going forward. And I think it's critical to just state that success requires collaboration with our federal, tribal, and urban partners to address not only just hardware and software functionality, but the data integration, business process changes, workflow redesigns, and user testing, and the new enterprise approach to training and support, how we onboard new folks into the care team, whether that's doctors, nurses, or ancillary staff. And I think it's important to note how we accomplish some of those things. So we use Dear Tribal Leader letters, where we write to the leaders of all 576 federally recognized tribes across the country to make sure that they know what's happening and that they have the opportunity to have input into those processes. So you'll see those published on our website, and that's kind of the official correspondence that does that. We also have a similar process with our urbans, because they have different authorities. We call that urban confer, but basically meeting that requirement of the government to talk about the impact of our decisions and our work on tribal and urban communities to make sure that they have a voice in that process. And the modernization process is critical to how we deliver healthcare. It's the tool we use every day. It holds the data. It's how we report out to Congress, all of those things. And we know how important that is to our tribal communities. And we're going to make sure that we live up to that tribal consultation, urban confer commitment to make sure that we're working with those partners. We've also let out a statement of interest. So our partners don't have to join or use the systems that we put in place. They have tribal sovereignty. This is a government-to-government relationship. And they can, in many cases, choose to do their own electronic health records. So earlier I mentioned that we have experience implementing not only commercial software, but specifically the, including the Oracle solutions. And the way we were able to get that experience is our tribal partners and our urban partners have always had the flexibility to change that system. And in many cases, in dozens and dozens of cases, they've already changed those systems out. So we know that it works for us in our environment and in the delivery of healthcare to Native Americans. And I think that's really important. But we put out that statement of interest so that we can start to recruit governance and get people into the process. And this just in a non-binding way lets them tell us we're interested in joining the new solution. We've had over 70 responses from tribes, many of whom already have a commercial system and are eager to join in our national solution. The other part of our governance is focus groups, where we talk about things like interoperability and data and analytics that impact everyone, regardless of which EHR they're using. So if you're a leader in a tribal community and you have subject matter experts around data interoperability, data and analytics, or implementation, we have focus groups that are national meetings where everybody can come in and talk about those broad topics, regardless of which EHR you're using, so that we're using the right standards and approaching those topics the right way.
I want to ask about these sort of rounded strategies that you're using to get this feedback from partnerships, largely because your background is, you know, as COO, CIO of Cherokee Nation Hastings Hospital. Like, you've been in their shoes. How has that colored the way that you're having these conversations?
I think it really made me sensitive to what this looks like to our providers, to our teams that out in the field that are managing day-to-day activities, and how critical this tool is to everything that you do. And having the right digital capabilities really does enable you to improve patient outcomes. It puts information at the fingertips of our providers, not just about individual patients, but also populations, cohorts, disease burdens, and helps plan for resources, you know, at a macro level, not just the care that you're providing to the individual, but a good system starts to help you make sure, you know, do you have the right resources on your care team to take care of the people that are coming through your doors? Do you have enough people to manage diabetes? Do you have enough people on your team to manage behavioral health and all the things that come with it, acute care, all of those things. And it really just emphasizes how much orchestration happens through the EHR with our data, with our patients, with our providers, our nurses, our pharmacists, the labs. You know, you really just got a sense of how all of that works and how it can improve outcomes.
Yeah, the people aspect of it, I think, sometimes gets lost when we talk about IT and when we come to modernization. And longtime listeners will know that's a phrase I use a lot because the workforce side of this stuff is always interesting to me. What kind of hurdles have you seen on the workforce side of things when it comes to the modernization plan?
Great question. We think about this a lot. When we talk about what we're actually accomplishing with modernization, you know, replacing the EHR is kind of the obvious answer, but the less obvious answer has to do with the way we support the model. Right now, the separate EHRs are supported separately in hundreds of locations across the country. And you can be successful with the current EHR, but it has an asterisk. If you have a good system administrator, if you're able to recruit high quality clinical informaticists, if you're able to retain those folks and get them in the rural parts of the country where we work or get them to do it remotely, which sometimes can be a challenge in the current systems. And so that workforce is one of the three key things that we're talking about that we're actually doing with modernization is we are stabilizing that approach. What we've learned over the past 15 years plus is that we cannot hire our way through that problem. We can't hire enough highly skilled informaticists and system administrators to make these systems work appropriately and consistently nationwide. And through the enterprise model, we're actually consolidating that support. And so rather than have all these vacancies, you're really building a larger team that's centralized that can deliver high quality, equitable, and consistent support to everyone across the country. And you no longer have skills gaps because the one and only lab person at this facility, you know, retired or moved on, and now you can't recruit that position, and therefore your labs are suffering, and you're manually entering labs because your accessioning interface isn't working correctly. And so we're really excited about that, is talking about that what we're really doing is fixing that support model and building a central team that can deliver that rather than chasing all those vacancies, those thousands of vacancies across the country that, quite honestly, you know, our history tells us we're not going to fill those positions. We couldn't fill them in the past 15 years, and we couldn't persist that model and just not fill them for the next 15 years. So we changed the model, and now we have a model that through strategy, we can meet our staffing goals. And that's one of the big three things. And just because I teased that a little bit, the other two things are we're stabilizing or creating a solid financial foundation so that in 20 years, the current infrastructure isn't neglected, isn't aging out because it's not being maintained appropriately. So stabilizing support, financial foundation. And then that third thing is data is at the center of everything we do. So we're liberating data. We're taking data out of hundreds of separate systems and putting it into a large enterprise system where we have more access to near real-time information about the delivery of clinical care across the country. And that will improve the way that we move data. Because right now it's in hundreds of separate databases. And the truth is, even though we write the software and people deploy it out in the field, it gets modified. It gets configured differently. It's the way they use it is different. And when we try to bring data back nationally, we do have to do a lot of data quality work. We have to do a lot of normalization to then reuse that data coming back out of those systems. So liberating that data is a key piece. And just you mentioned this, that you guys talk about this on your show. You know, there's no silver bullet, and EHRs are no difference. You know, the digital capabilities, there's not one solution that's perfect and does it all. What we hope is through putting data at the center of our model, through an enterprise structure that helps us solve some of those support problems, and then high quality digital tools that are moving with the industry, that we have approached the modernization the best way possible for the government and our partners to tap into all the research and development and the patient-centered, human-centered design and the patient engagement activities that happen across the country just through the delivery of healthcare for all of our partners. We're hoping to tap into that model so that we can use it. So again, there's no silver bullet for it, but software is probably one of the largest modern day levers. And if you have to move a mountain, that's in your toolbox to as a lever to move that big problem. And so hopefully we're using it smart. We've got the right fulcrum, we get the right lever, and we make some significant improvements in the delivery of healthcare.
So ultimately, the conversation is about, I guess, in healthcare, it's patient experience, but CX, when it comes to these things, customer experience, you know, certainly you want to be doing it on all fronts. And that is a huge part of what you're doing. Is there anything we didn't cover that you'd like to talk about or that we need to hit?
As we continue to listen to what our partners have to say, I've really heard them stress five key points, each of which IHS has or is working towards part of our enterprise EHR solution. And that's one, a complete medical record across multiple service areas, providing better continuity of care for our patients. So if you're seen one place, having that information show up at your next episode of care, or if you move, having that seamless transition. Two, having an inclusive governance structure that supports informed decision-making around the EHR implementation with our users. Three, delivery of a commercial off-the-shelf enterprise solution to provide consistency across our network in the way that we deliver healthcare. Four, develop consistent communication with our partners. This is something that we've continued to hear, and we communicate every month with our partners. We have quarterly meetings with a lot of large standing committees. And we've just found that we can't talk about modernization enough. There's always someone who hasn't heard of it, who has a lot of questions. So we spend a lot of time with our communications team trying to saturate that channel, if you will, with information and links to information so that everybody feels engaged and nobody's surprised when the changes start. And then also focusing on our training opportunities and making sure that nationally materials are available to really improve the way we onboard our providers and our care team and our new administrators so that we're showing them how to use the tools and how to use them effectively so that when they're onboarded, they're leveraging everything that we have at their disposal to improve those outcomes in their day-to-day jobs. So that training model and the consistency of an enterprise solution is really going to pay dividends in the way that we can invest in a national program around training.
Yeah, certainly the training aspect is not to be lost. Mr. Thornburgh, thanks so much for being on with us.
All right. Thank you, Ross.
Thank you, Ross. That was a terrific chat that you had with Mitchell Thornburgh. Before we let our listeners go, are there any last highlights or takeaways that you want to leave them with?
Well, the challenges that IHS faces when it comes to health outcomes are they're pretty big because there are different communities throughout the country, urban, rural, near, far, big, small, that IHS has to manage. So this particularly when it comes to their modernization journey, they really have to satisfy all those needs. And this particular project really, that's a linchpin of it.
Yeah, you really can't take a one-size-fits-all approach. Well, thank you again, Ross. We always enjoy hearing from Mitchell, and I guess I look forward to hearing another interview sometime in the near future. With all that said, thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, make sure that you leave a review and a 5-star rating on the podcast platform of your choice. And hey, tell a friend. We always appreciate growing our audience, especially since we have the brand new consolidated podcast feed. Thank you all for listening. I'm Alexander Bolova.
I'm Ross Shafertunen.
Thank you for listening. HealthCast, along with GovCast and CyberCast, is a production of GovCIO Media and Research. To explore our content, visit our website, govciomedia.com. Keep an eye out for new episodes every Tuesday. And if you like what you heard, leave us a review on the podcast platform of your choice. Have a topic you want us to discuss? Contact us at newsletter@govcio.com.